It is a lovely hymn, isn't it? An amazing truth, just to be able to sing that the God who looks after all of those things that we have mentioned, there's an amazing list there, cares for you and he cares for me. What are we at the end of the day, as the psalmist said, but water spilt upon the ground that cannot be gathered up? And yet, that Almighty God who created and made everything cares for you and really cares for me. That's a very remarkable thing. Well, it's lovely to be back at Cookstown this morning and to have the opportunity of being at the table today to remember the Lord with you and to now share a little with you from the Lord's precious word. Thank you very much for the prayers that I've been assured of during the past number of weeks. This is my first time to stand in a pulpit for 5 weeks, and I don't ever remember anything like that ever before. But the Lord knows all about these things. That particular Sunday, I was up in Belfast speaking in the Olivet Hall, and I came home just to relax for a little time at night and maybe take the little dog for a walk, was my intention. And as I was driving into the road where I live, the phone in the car rang. And it was a lady that I know very well from Market Hill area to let me know about another lady who lives in Port Glenowen, who was very ill and had contacted her to contact me to bring her name up at a prayer group that takes place in Guildford every Wednesday morning. And the phone rang in the car and I answered. I drove into the carport at the front of the house, still talking away to this lady. You know the way this thing in your car works. You can do it legal, at least I hope it's legal. I'm using it nearly every day in the week. And I got out and went into the house, let the wee dog out for a minute, and went upstairs, still talking away to the lady on the phone. And I went upstairs to leave the suit off or whatever, and put on something a bit more relaxing. My intention was to take the little dog out for a walk. And inside 10 minutes, I was off the planet entirely. If the lady had not had the presence of mind to come down and to see what on earth was wrong, because I was talking to her and all of a sudden the conversation ended, but the phone didn't cut off, you see. And she realized that wasn't right. So she gave it about half an hour. Then there was no response from me or anything of the sort. And she decided to come down, which she did. And my next door neighbor always keeps a key of the house for me. And they managed to get in and I was flat out, completely off the planet, as I told you. And I didn't come round again for almost 3 days. I'd taken a thing called sepsis, if ever you heard of it. And they told me in the hospital, actually, I was a very favoured and fortunate person, because if it had been another 10 minutes, I would not be here today. That's just how bad it was. And I don't remember them coming near me in the house. I don't remember the doctor. I don't remember the ambulance. I don't remember anything. I woke up in the hospital and tubes run out of me everywhere. If my late wife had been around, she'd been ripping. I never got the shirt off for 5 days. I couldn't get it off. When I went into hospital, the shirt was still on and they stuck these things here and here. I couldn't get out of it, the shirt, but there you are. And I was 8 days in there altogether. And thank God I'm still here. And it's an experience, I can tell you. And even to put it out as a word of warning, if anyone should hear, many a time I hear people saying to me that they'll get ready to move at the last minute. I'll tell you something now, friends, it was the very last thing was in my mind. The very last thing that I was thinking about, because I had no time to think about anything. You know, I didn't feel anything coming at all. It just happened, like switching off a radio, like that. I remember nothing. And if I had been depending on waiting at that particular minute to cry unto God for mercy, it would have been too late. I can assure you, it's a very, very foolish thing for anyone to do. So that's my second adventure with this thing. I had it about a number of years back. Very same experience. Fell over a table at my grandchildren's, my daughter's twins. That's what I'm trying to get out. It was their birthday. And I just did the very same thing, the very same experience. One thing I'm deeply thankful to God for is the hand of the Lord was in it all. That's very obvious. The phone call, the lady and all the rest of it. But one thing I'm deeply thankful for is that it didn't happen in the car. Because I drove home in the M1. And if that had happened with me on the M1, I don't know what the outcome could have been. You know, but however, that's just a thought, by the way. The Lord got me home okay. And when I was in the hospital, they said to me, "Have you no pain?" I said, "No." And while I was in there, they had put me through this scanner. I don't remember it at all. They ended up, I had double pneumonia. I didn't know that at all. No pain or ache nor a thing. And I contacted the people in Belfast. I said, "Look, did I do anything daft or say anything stupid when I was down there last Sunday?" "Yes, what are you talking about?" And then I told them. I said, "I wasn't an hour away from you till this happened." They couldn't believe it, you know, but I said, "There you are." So that's how it goes. However, my times are in thy hands. That's it, Brother Gordy or Jordy. Good to see you. I hear you've been having a strange adventure too. But these things let you know just how fickle the human body can be and how quickly things can go wrong, you know. And the old COVID's still around. Looking down this morning, all these masks and whatever lets you know that all is not well. And I think COVID's here for a while. Will it ever go? It's a big question in my mind. Anyway, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I think it seems to be getting worse the way things are going. But at the same time, again, that's all in the Lord's hands. I was talking to a man one day and he told me, he says to me, "What do you think of this thing?" I said, "I don't know. What do you think of it?" "Well," he said, "I never thought the day would come when I'd go into a bank wearing a mask and have no gun and ask for money and get it." And that's all he said to me. Well, there you are. Some boys always look into the comical side of things, so it's good when it gives you a bit of an uplift. I've been thinking quite a bit, friends, during this week about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. People will say to me from time to time, "Are we nearing the end of the age?" I am scared to say yes. But if I were to speculate, I probably would. Because as I look out across the world today, and I'm sure you do too from time to time, what dreadful changes there have been in the world in which you and I are living. There's these big earthquake problems, and I hear we've got another one this morning again with this tsunami again. A little island has been swamped again, and more trouble. And these things hardly make headline news anymore. And there's the spread of this plague, which you would think would talk to people. I was down the town in Lurgan just yesterday, and as I looked up the street a bit, I saw a guy that I know very, very well, standing at the side of the road doing his bit to give out gospel literature. People are coming and going, all masked up and all the rest of it. And you would think that the circumstances around us would cause people to think. And I noticed this as I watched our friend David standing there giving out this literature, that not one person accepted it. Not one. Everyone refused to accept the literature from him. And I thought, my goodness, you've all got the signs there that this horrible thing is there which could take you into eternity in no time. And yet here is a man doing his very best to show you the way to get to heaven, and you don't want to know. Does it bring you back to the days of Noah? I think it does. When this man who was a preacher of righteousness proclaimed that the judgment of God was about to fall, and outside the realm of his own wife and family, he didn't get one single convert. Not one. The Bible tells me they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Well, the Lord's on his way. I think we need to remember that. And if ever there was a day when we needed to proclaim that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, it's the days in which you and I are living. I'm not going to fall into any trap of setting dates or anything of the sort this morning. I've seen that done in the past, and it ends up very badly, because whenever men are foolish enough to do this, I heard a man proclaiming one evening that the moment the British government signed our entry into the common market, that's when Christ would come. A very prominent preacher too. Well, we're in and out, and the Lord's still not here. You see, so it's very, very easy to make the circumstances suit the Bible. That's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. But this morning, I've been thinking a lot about the comings of Christ. Now, if you have your Bible, open up there at John chapter 14 for a moment or two. But it'll take me a minute or two to get there, because there's one or two things also that I want to say. The comings of Christ, friends, in our Bible are very, very special to think about. And it's right, I believe, to say this morning that he came, he comes, and he's coming. Now let me just spend a moment or two on the first of those. The Christmas season of the year has just come and gone. Again, I was amused yesterday as I noticed an advert on a shop window. I was walking up the street to meet a friend of mine, and this advert was on the window: 300 and something or other days to Christmas. Join our Christmas club. That's the way the world thinks today. That tickled me a bit, actually. It made me laugh, the whole idea of it. But you see, Christmas has come and gone. There's all the talk about the man in the red suit and all the rest of it. And tragically, the Lord is never hardly mentioned. I remember, I think it was last year, standing outside the Faith Mission bookshop, and I was reading down some adverts there that were on the window, because a fellow had rung me to ask me the date and time of an event that he wanted to attend, and I knew it was advertised on that window. And I was standing there, and there were two ladies. Now, they weren't all that big, so I could see over the top of them, you see, for what I was looking for. And I was just looking at this, and they were standing. And the Salvation Army had an advert there for an event that they were doing over Christmas, you see. And one lady looked at the other, and she said, "Isn't it remarkable that even the churches are getting in on Christmas?" Now, what a statement to make, because the churches as such are so far outside the event now, you see, that the real purpose of Emmanuel, God with us, is almost completely forgotten. That is tragic. However, we're not going to forget it, because Many a time I remind my heart of this. Where would I be today had Jesus never come? Where would you be? The answer is, we would be on our way to hell, and there's every chance we might be there. But thank God today that we can say, and say truthfully, that Christ came yesterday. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a blessing that is, and how good it is to know that. Very often, not merely at the Christmas season of the year, but throughout the year, I think about those words where Mary brought forth her firstborn son. And when she did, she wrapped him in swaddling bands. Now, swaddling bands are simply bandages that were used to embalm bodies, you see. They were grave clothes. And right away, the mark of the cross is there. Here's a child born to die. Swaddling bands were there from the word go. There were no baby grows or anything of the sort available when our Lord Jesus Christ was born. And she laid him in a manger. And a manger was simply a feeding trough. Imagine a child being born today and being wrapped in grave clothes, which I don't think exist anymore, at least not in this part of the world, and using a feeding trough. You'd almost be imprisoned, or the child taken off you, for a thing like that. But that's how it was. But whenever you see Mary doing, look at the child for a minute. This is what I've been trying to do in my own mind over the past days. Take a look at that scene, and this babe that was lying there. You've seen a baby many a time, totally dependent on its mother. Totally dependent on its mother. Someone mentioned in the meeting this morning about the love of a mother. Well, it's a very remarkable thing. Very remarkable. And I don't think any man could come anywhere near it. I honestly believe that. And Mary loved that child beyond a shadow of a doubt. But who is this? Is Emmanuel, God with us. And Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And you know, friends, when you look at that little baby, that child that was born, that Mary brought forth and laid in that manger, God in our likeness made. Oh, may we understand that he who made the wandering worlds appears as lowly man. And that baby contained all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can you explain that? I certainly can. But believe it we do, and believe it we must. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And you can imagine Mary lifting that baby and to do for it what a mother does. And yet, that baby was God. God manifest in flesh. That's a remarkable thing. Charlton Steen, you've heard me quote this before, was a remarkable poet who lived in these islands many, many years ago. But one Christmas morning, he took up the pen and he wrote these remarkable words about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he had come into the world, no less almighty at his birth. Listen, let's grasp this. Than on his throne supreme, his shoulders held up heaven and earth, while Mary held up him. Oh, the wonder of that. Oh, that the world could see that again. And you know, the Apostle Paul, in his writings to Timothy, he summed it up very well. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he added this wee bit, of whom I am chief. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be a saved sinner? Isn't it? And that all comes to you and to me today because Jesus came yesterday. Thank God he will never need to return to do the work that he came to do. We read about and heard about Gethsemane this morning, and I remember standing in Gethsemane. And as we stood there together in the Garden of Gethsemane, we were singing, Gethsemane, can I forget? Or there thy conflict see, thine agony and blood-like sweat, and not remember thee. These are amazing things. But nevertheless, while we may be familiar with them, there's no harm at all in reminding our hearts about them again. And from our hearts today, looking back to that manger scene and thanking God that Christ came yesterday. But you know, friends, Christ also comes today. There's no doubt about that one. I think it was George in his prayer this morning struck me with this, that Christ is here. You know, it's very, very easy to leave your home today and come into a meeting like this, here or elsewhere, and miss that. That Christ is here, you see. But you know, friends, we come together this morning seeing by faith the Lord in the midst. That's it. And while we come to pray and sing hymns and read his word and converse together as we do, nevertheless, we must not miss the Savior. Here in our midst art thou, O risen Lord. I remember going along to a prayer meeting in a particular spot one time many years ago. And I don't know what you think of this, and I had never known then or even now what to think about it. But we were all sitting in a circle, you see, at this prayer meeting. And in the middle of the circle there was a chair, but there was nobody sitting on it. And at the end of the prayer time, I said to the brother, I said, tell me, what's the idea of the chair sitting in the middle? He says, that's just to remind us that the Lord's in the midst. Well, now, I never forgot that. I never did. And mind you, if a chair in the middle would remind us constantly the purpose of our being together, then I wouldn't be arguing about it at all. Because he's here. He's really here. The Lord Jesus Christ is here in our midst today. We may be few in number. We may be despised by the world. We may be looked down upon by those who are outside. However, let us never forget, friends, there was only eight in the ark. That was it. And there's eight here in this building this morning, I think, if I count that, that's correct. But friends, the Lord is here. And that's what really matters. And if we can get a renewed vision of him, what a difference that would make in our lives in the week to come. I knew an old sister very well. You'll pardon these personal references, but I think they do help from time to time. Her name was Mrs. Patterson. She was a very godly woman. She came to live in the village that I was brought up in. And all her life, she had been a member of Templemore Hall in Belfast. But she taught me a very interesting thing, and it was this, that in the days of W.E. Tocher, now I never ever met that man or I never even seen him, but he was the man that the late Willie Mullen was saved through, W.E. Tocher. And she told me this, she said, you know, he took up the book of Psalms over a period of 3 years. Now, That would just about work out right, for there's 150 of them. Many a time I meant to ask her, but I never got round to it, what he did with 119. I'm not quite clear what way he would sort that out in one morning. But however, he took one every Lord's Day, you see, for 3 years. But here's what she said, and I thought this was amazing. She said, you know, he handled the psalm beautifully. He expanded it remarkably. She said, I've never forgotten it. And then this was the bit. If Christ wasn't in the psalm, he put him in it. Do you know, I remember that well. Because there's times we need to do that. There's times when we read a portion of the Word of God and our great Savior may not be mentioned. But I feel that even as we expand the Word, these are they which testify of me. That's it. And if you were to ask me this morning what my favorite Bible verse is, I never would like to elevate one above the other. But the one that I would count as a favorite is whatever Martha said to her sister Mary, the Master is come and he calleth for thee. I don't think I've ever conducted a gospel mission in my lifetime, friends, that I haven't spent at least one night on that verse. The Master is come and he calleth for thee. You know, many a time I've seen people responding to that call and getting to know the Savior for themselves. So it's equally true to say that the one who came yesterday comes today. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age. Friends, keep your eye on Christ. That's my advice to all of us in the meeting this morning, because the moment you take your eyes off him, you become like Peter. And before you know where you are, you're swamped by the waves and the wind and the water. The whole thing will come over you, and you need the Lord to lift you and put you back into the boat. That's how it is. However, the third thing I want to talk a little about this morning, my friend, is this. There's a future aspect to this, that Christ will come tomorrow. Some tomorrow he will come. He came yesterday, he comes today, he will come tomorrow. And in this chapter, here's a lovely, lovely verse, and it's the third verse that I want to talk about just for the final moments of our meeting today. Let's read it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that's all by way of reading this morning. I could have read other verses to do with this morning, but I'll leave that to your own discretion. Now, we want to look at this verse because it has to deal with some very remarkable things as far as you and I as believers are concerned today. And it begins with what I want to call this morning the cross. And bear with me till I give you my reason for that. The Lord Jesus said here to the disciples, and if I go and prepare a place for you. Now I speak reverently and respectfully this morning. I have heard men talk about the Lord getting out the wallpaper and the paste and the paint and all the rest, and he's decorating heaven for you and me to come. I don't believe a word of that. I don't think you can change eternity. How can you change something that's eternal? You see, I give unto my sheep eternal life. It's the same today as it was the day you got it. It will be the same tomorrow when the Savior comes. It will be the same throughout eternity. You can't change eternity. So when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, what exactly did he mean? I believe this, that what he meant was this: I'm going to the cross and I'm going to make a preparation on the grounds of which you can make it to the Father's house someday. I go to make a preparation for you. Get that? That's the idea. And I'm persuaded that's what that means. The Lord had the cross in mind. Not that he was going to alter heaven for the convenience of the disciples. No, no. I'm going to Calvary. And he was. We read about it this morning in the meeting and we sang about it. Where he was going through Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, down into the grave and back up to the glory again. All of those things were in our mind. And he did make that preparation. Now, I was struck by one of the hymns we sang there this morning about sin, our sins being mentioned in that particular hymn. Wonder what our sins would look like. Now, you'll never know, for they're not there anymore. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But what a job that must have been, to take on the sin of the world. What a task. This is the preparation. Who else could have done it? Who else could have taken on this job? Who else but he could have made his way to the cross? Who else but he, during those hours of darkness, ponder this for a moment, could have borne the sin of the world? I don't know how anybody could explain that. The sin of the world. That's a remarkable statement. Because the sin of the world since the day that Adam rebelled in the Garden of Eden, friends, it certainly hasn't got any less. Things are waxing worse and worse. And today, sin counts for nothing. Absolutely nothing. You could hardly turn a program on your television today, but this whole business of same-sex marriage is not hitting you in the face. You see, what does God think of all that? What does he think of it? Because male and female created he them. And now, sadly, in this land, our own government has put that into reverse. And the ex-Prime Minister Cameron said, and listen to this, it was one of the best decisions he ever made, of which he is exceedingly proud. I wonder what he'd think of that someday, when he meets God on the issue. You see, that's only one issue that we face today. And yet, he took my sin and my sorrow. Now, here's the wee bit I was thinking about. He made them, listen, his very own. Don't know how he did that. I don't know. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. I was thinking just as I sat there this morning about facing the nails, for he knew. You can just imagine when he was carrying that cross to the place called Calvary, he knew about the nails. He knew what would happen. And this is what shocked the centurion. You see, others were led to that place of execution. And I'm perfectly sure the two thieves, well, they wouldn't walk easily. They were probably cursing and swearing and railing on their accusers and fighting all they could to escape. You see, and that would have been a common thing. I don't think any one of those people ever that the centurion and his colleagues had executed by means of crucifixion ever walked there easily. You can understand that. They knew what lay ahead of them. But here is one led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And here's the bit. So he openeth not his mouth. Not one word was spoken against his accusers. Not one. And my friends, they did their worst to him. They nailed him to the cross. And even then, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the centurion had to say, truly this was a righteous man. He'd never seen anything like it in his life. It shocked him, absolutely. And I believe it was such a shock that it would have brought him eventually to the Saviour. And I believe someday we'll meet that centurion in heaven. But there's the cross. Thank God it's finished. No more sacrifice for sin. He offered one sacrifice for sin forever. And to prove it, went back to heaven and sat down at the Father's right hand in glory. You've heard it said many a time that in the inner sanctuary of the tabernacle there was no chair. None there, because the priest's work was never done. He couldn't sit down. There was no chair there. But up in the sanctuary in heaven there was a throne. And who sits on it? Who sat there? The Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So there's the cross there. Now, he said this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, it's followed by the coming, I will come again. Brothers and sisters, this morning, you're listening to that. This is the Lord talking. I will come again. Take those four words. Boy, how much you could say about them. I will come again. Do you think he'd break his promise? No, no, no. He certainly will not. Do you think he'll keep his word? Of course he will. Can you hear him say to you in the meeting this morning, irrespective of your circumstances, I will come again? Over the past number of days, friends, since I've been so much about home, I've been dealing quite a bit with a lot of people who are Christian people, believers, who are facing serious difficulties, very serious ones. And you know, God's salvation is a remarkable, and I speak with reverence, ticket to heaven. But it's no guarantee that your life on earth will not be faced with problems. No guarantee. I remember a man saying to me one time, and I never forgot it. He says, you know, I never had problems really until I got saved. I had the joy of leading him to the Lord on a Christmas Eve. And I met him exactly 1 week later. And I said, well, Tom, how are you going? Harvey, he said, before I became a Christian a week ago, I didn't know whether there was a devil or not. He says, now I think there's two. And he says, one of them on my tail. Because he was doing everything he could do to drag him back. You know. And he not bother you while you're not bothering him. He holds his goods in peace. But when you step out of his territory and from under his grip, you see, he hits you. And I'll tell you something now. If the Lord took his hand of you and I in this meeting, there wouldn't be one of us get home alive. I believe that. I believe he'd sort us out right away, because we've left his territory. We're a rebuke to him. We're showing the world the folly of walking with him and rejecting Christ, and he doesn't like it. He certainly doesn't. We're now the enemies of the enemy, not his friends anymore. We're the friends of Christ now, and we're the enemies of Satan. Are you listening to the Lord talking in your ear this morning, friend? Are you hearing him? I will come again. Do you hear that? Now, it might be tomorrow. It might be today. It might be this year. I don't know. I don't know. But somebody said, and I believe this is true, while we're not told to look for signs, it's very hard not to look at them. And as I listen to world leaders, dear old Boris, what are we going to do with them? What are they going to do with them? You see, full of nothing but blunders. Are any of us any better? I just wonder, you know. I said to a lady here the other day who was talking to me, that man, he shouldn't be there. I said, if you had anything better to put in his place before you start putting him away? You know, I don't think that, he's just a sinner like all the rest of us. Pray for the man, leave him alone. At least that's what I do. I don't know what they'll end up doing with him. It's not my choice or not my decision. And I'm very, very glad about it. He's full of nothing but mistakes and blunders. Neither am I. You see, he's just a man in every sense of the word. But how did I get onto him? I better get off him quick. Or I'll maybe get kicked out of the hole. If there's any Labour boys here, I'll be in big ball. I used to live beside one. Dear, dear, he was serious. You know, he had my head turned, you know. And he eventually died. I'm not going to say what I was thinking then, but that's another issue. You see. But anyway, I will come again. He's coming. Now listen, here's the covenant. I looked up this word covenant in the dictionary just to see what it actually meant. It means a covenant is a relationship between two parties. You see, this cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. It's between Christ and you and Christ in us. It's a relationship between two parties. And strangely enough, the dictionary gave this as between God and Israel in the Old Testament. Now, what they meant was this. You remember, they made a covenant and Israel blundered left, right and center. Made all sorts of mistakes. And God says, look, I'm going to change this. I'll do it myself. You see, well, this is the covenant here between Christ and you. Receive you unto myself. You got that? You. Come on, put your name in. Receive you unto myself. Sometimes I think, friends, whenever we talk about the Lord's return, which is very precious, for it is a blessed hope, we're far too selfish in our thinking. Now let me illustrate to you what I mean by that. It's not our going that's the issue. It's his coming's the issue. We can go any day, but he can only come the one day, whenever that is, when the Father gives the command to arise and go. You see, no man knoweth, he said, the day or the hour, but my Father only. Now that means that he's some subjection to the Father, not that he doesn't know, because I don't believe there's anything our Savior doesn't know. He knows exactly when he will come, but he awaits the Father's command to arise and go, to receive you. You got that? Just you. Now, never mind who's beside you. To receive you unto myself. I used to know a lady very well. She lived in Makara. They used to call it Ma'ara. That's not too far from here, sure it's not. But she's in the glory today. But boy, was she some size. You know, she was a big woman. And she had this habit of hugging you. And when I'd go into the meeting to preach, here she'd come rolling down the floor nearly, and she'd come for you like a bull in a china shop, and then arms around you, and I got the arms like this, because she'd have broke nearly every rib in your body. She had this habit of hugging you. But I remember her saying to me one day, Harvey, I've been talking about the Lord's return at a conference. She says, what? I says, what's wrong? She says, nothing wrong. But she says, I'm going to have to slim. I said, praise the Lord. What did I say in my message that convinced you of that? She says, how's the Lord going to lift me? Well, I said, I don't know. I'm terrible glad it's not me that's going to lift. Do you know something? I don't believe she ever lost an ounce. I don't believe it. I always watched out for a difference. Never seen any difference at all, you know. But that's how it is. Friends, he's coming for you. I'll tell you something. He's going to change you. I don't need these iron masks anymore. So dirty coming in this morning there with a handful of sticks, I think. Am I right? thought that. Aye, well, I'm on 1 year ago, so don't worry about it. I always tell the people I keep it because it makes me posh. I don't. I keep it because, first of all, to drive the dogs off. They want to get out the wee barn and I take them for a walk. And, well, to keep me up so as I can go a bit further with them. That's how it is. He's coming for you. Now, here's the wee bit. I must finish. The covenant is followed by the climax of it all. What is the climax? That where I am. Are you listening now? That where I am, there ye may be also. Got that? I'm coming for you. And the reason why I'm coming for you is this. I died for you. And my love for you has never altered or changed, and it never will. And I want you in heaven with me forever. I'm coming to receive you unto myself. Receive you unto myself. See? I've never seen the Lord. Receive you unto myself. You have all kinds of ideas of what he looked like. You see, receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Friends, the present, well, I was giving out, I'll finish, because oh, look where the time is. I was giving out gospel literature with a man one day, and way up in Bessbrook. And we met this guy, and I don't know what kind of notion he had, but, oh, he said, you boys are all wrong with this second coming. I said, what's wrong? Ah, he said, we're in the tribulation now. Oh, I said, right. But this wee man was with me. He was a farmer in the area, and he was very quiet in his way of talking. But you know the way it is. He never spoke, but he said something. You know. I heard about two ladies who went along to hear a minister one time. One of them was deaf. And she looked at the other lady. I was told this to be true now. She looked at the other lady, and she says, can you hear him? I can hear him. What's he saying? Oh, she says, he's talking plenty, but he's saying little. there you are. But this man looked at the other man, and he says, we're going through the tribulation. Oh, we're in it now. Oh, it's not too bad, he says. It's not too bad. Well, if this is it, it's not too bad. I doubt this is not it. We'll never see it. With no appointment with wrath. There ye may be also. Take that away home with you. That where I am, there ye may be also. You can open up on that and say 1,000 things today about where he is. I'll finish by telling you this. A lady sent for me here recently who was dying in hospital down in Dundonald, and I went to see her. And she sent for me to organise her funeral and gave me all the details that she wanted. And she passed away, and I had to send Martin. That was the Monday I was in hospital. And I could do nothing. Couldn't do a thing. So now they want me to do a memorial service on her behalf in the hall she belonged to. But she says, listen, I want to tell you something while you're here. She says, I was lying in the ward here the other night. And she says, I've told them to quit treating me because my body's in misery. He says, I want no more of this. What would I want to stay here for? Pain and ache like this and all the rest of it. And the husband's sitting there and he's not too happy about what he's hearing, but no matter. That's what she said. She says, I want to tell you, the Lord gave me a vision here the other night, sitting here in this room. And some of the things that lady told me about heaven, I would love to have time to share them with you. That was the most amazing thing I've ever heard. And she says, when you go to my funeral, I want you to tell them this. I never got doing it as yet, but I promised her I would. But friends, the things she told me, You know, she saw it all in the hospital ward. You know, and the husband was there and he told me, he says, Harvey, I didn't know what, I thought she was going off her head. He said she was near coming out of the bed. You know, but the thing she was seeing, this great vision of heaven. I stood with my grandfather. I was only a lad of 11 for about an hour before he died. And he sat up on the bed and he smiled with his arms out like this, and he was unconscious for a fortnight, three times, and I saw that. I don't know what he saw. I saw none, but he certainly did. There's no doubt about that. Well, the Lord's in control, friends, and he's coming. He really is. And if I can get that into your mind and the mind of believers elsewhere, I feel we've accomplished a great deal. Let's pray. Lord, thou art here, nearer than hands or feet, nearer than breath or air. Oh, how we thank thee for thy presence with us today. We thank thee for going to the cross and out of a heart of deep, deep love, dying for the likes of we. What are we this morning? Yet at the same time, loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know. The Lord bless this fellowship. Bless Harold as he comes tonight, and may the mighty gospel live in his hand tonight. And grant indeed that it will be blessed to those who know thee. May it reach out to those who don't. Part us now with thy blessing and give us journeying mercies. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Keep remembering Martin in your prayers, friends. He's in Ukraine. Ukraine. Just a minute. I'm a wee bit bothered about him going away over there because there's a big issue.